Hey, everybody. So we're going a bit left field, or should I say right field, or should I say west field today. We've got Steve Westfield with us, who is an AI guru. He's never heard that before in his entire life. It's an absolutely pure, brand new way of introducing him. But we're going to talk a bit about gambling and the impact of AI on gambling and how you can get that slight edge, or can you, in this new era of ChatGPT, Bing, et cetera, et cetera. So Steve, great having you on board. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
You got in touch with me saying you've got some value adds to give to our customers and to our listeners. And part of this was about how you have lost, for those in Europe, that is American money, which they can just print for free. So I don't know how much it's really worth. But this was a scam experience that you had. And I want to talk about how losing $75,000 in a scam worked. But we're going to talk a bit about AI and gambling, the company that you've got, which is called leans.ai. So we'll share a link with that and how folks can use that. But it's going to be interesting talk just about gambling as an industry that, obviously, if you're in Asia, they'll probably love hearing from you, Steve, because gambling is good there. But in the rest of the world, perhaps gambling is seen as a bit of a dirty secret or something that you don't share with your wife and your colleagues and so on. But some folks make their career in gambling. Some people do it for fun. What is your background? How did you get into gambling? And then we'll talk about losing all sorts of money and AI.
Okay. First off, I don't gamble. I bet. And it's a subtlety, but to me, gambling is playing a hunch or using emotion. When I'm betting, I am using very calculated, methodical, strategic percentages, win percentages, probabilities. It's all built into what the sports books are taking when they take their cut away from it. Sometimes I'll have friends over and we'll be watching a game and someone will ask me if, you know, should I put 10 bucks on this parlay? And I'm like, dude, you're gambling. If you want to lose it, then go ahead and do that. But I personally do not gamble. I sports bet based on strong probabilities and math and statistics and all the underlying currents that go from there. As far as how I got into it, I was playing a little bit back in 2021 and losing a little bit of money here and there, and not, it was fun. It was entertaining, not really any serious amounts of money. But one day I was, there's got to be some people who are really good at picking the outcomes of these games that sell that information. And so I started looking and I discovered this whole market that's called sports handicapping. And what I didn't realize at the time, because I was young and dumb and naive and stupid, was that most of the sports handicapping industry is fraught with people who are cheats and frauds, and they will claim whatever they need to claim as far as their record and their win percentage to get you on board as a client. And then they take your money, they don't come through with those same type of win percentages, and then you as the client are just out that amount. And so I didn't know that. So I found this firm and they started claiming all of these crazy things like, oh, we're, you know, close to 70% against the spread sports betting, which if that's true is fantastic and you can make a really good living in it. So I bought into their entry level package, which was a few thousand dollars, and things were looking okay. And then they went on this really hot streak and I was like, man, this actually could be legitimate. And I had won a bunch of money over a few weeks and I was like, okay. And of course, that's when they came in with this sales tactic that was like, hey, we have this next package up. It's about $70,000. You'll get access for a whole year and it's even better win percentages than you just experienced the last 2 weeks. There's only one spot left and basically you have to buy it tonight by midnight or it's going to somebody else. And so I bought in. There's a little more because there were two purchases. It was actually like 35 and then there was like another 35 later. But I bought in and the next tier up, a week or two later, the tide started to turn and all of a sudden they started not winning that much amount of money. Or that win percentage. And then one thing leads to another and a year later, and they're winning like 51% against the spread, which is not even enough to break even. Being a software developer, I was like, I can do this stinking better than these knuckleheads And I've got to get my money back somehow because I'm not going to get my money back from them. And so I started really diving into coding, AI, statistics, and sports analytics, and created this algorithm that we branded as Remy. And Remy has now been running for a couple of years. And last year was a profitable sports betting algorithm if someone were to follow it to the letter. So that's how I planned it here.
And I see on your website that we don't have to pay $75,000 to get access to Remy either. So,
one of the differentiators we have is we actually allow a free trial. So you could sign up for the first month completely for free and try it out and see if you like it or not. After that point, it's $2.99 a month, American dollars. And the whole idea is it's like, it's take it or leave it. I mean, the algorithm is what it is. It's had really good performance. It can be streaky at times, but if people want in, great. If they don't, if it's not for them, then that's fine too. We've gotten rid of all of the high pressure sales tactics. And a lot of other sports handicappers don't even think about that because they know if they did a 30-day free trial, the product's not good enough to sustain that. And we're able to build trust with customers by giving them 30 days worth of data, and they see that the thing works, and then, you know, and then they subscribe after that. And it's been a very good model.
Well, you're talking about data, and I suppose this is one industry that has got tons of data. I mean, if you're talking about numbers, if you're looking at baseball, American football, whatever, whatever other ball sports you've got there, I think you say you talk about four or five, the four major American sports. There's decades worth of data around this. So as an AI person or as a developer, you've got a lot to work with. How have you differentiated yourself, say, for example, to these other companies or similar project? How is your AI different? How is your offering different to these scam folks?
So one of the big differentiators is there are a ton of human sports handicappers. There are very few who are actually doing AI. In fact, I think one of the leaders as far as just like Google search results. I mean, you type in AI sports picks or AI sports betting, and we're the first result that pops up. The big differentiator is the AI takes emotion out of the predictions. So humans are fraught with bias, whether they want to or not. You don't get into sports handicapping without being a sports fan. And that by nature means you're biased in some way. And you don't have an infinite memory, so you can't remember every single thing that happened one way or another and apply it correctly in a new analysis.
But my team definitely has to win this year. It's been 5 years without them winning. This is the year, and that's how you lose money.
Yep, and memories are biased, calculations are biased, fandom is biased. And so we've taken all of the emotion out of it and made a strictly analytical, statistical model that is a huge differentiator from human-based sports handicappers.
Now, Steve, what is the size of this market? And how many people actually make a living based on betting, not gambling? What is the size of your market that you're going after?
So I actually do not have a good number for you because it's growing every day. The last I saw in America, I think we had the market size of sports bettors at like 30 to 50 million. That could be just somebody placing a $5 bet on the Super Bowl or somebody very deep in it. So the market size is huge. Remind me the second part of your question.
So we spoke about the size of the market because I was going to ask you about, how big is the... Okay. Steve, how big is the betting pie in America that you're going after?
As best I can tell, I think it's around 30 to 50 million. And that would be adults who have placed a bet within the last year. Don't quote me on those numbers, but it's huge. I mean, it's stinking huge. And so there's a ton of people that are just trying to get more data and more, sports picks, sports predictions. And we've even seen our search traffic, our Google search traffic, just continue to grow and grow and grow because the market is getting huge. And we've seen in the last few years, a lot of the leagues are starting to get in bed with the sports betting companies because when some team is up by 35 points and everyone turns off the game, If you're sports betting, you're watching that game to see how it's going to end and what the spread's going to be at the end. And if you're watching that game, you're paying for or you're viewing commercials and ads, and so they can sell ads. And so a lot of the leagues have got in with the sports betting companies that said, we're going to embrace this because it gets more eyeballs on our games. We can sell more commercials, and then the whole thing creates more revenue.
So you've got tens of millions of potential customers. Out of those tens of millions, if we're just going to filter it down to a few of the useful guys off you, what percentage of that 20 to 50 million are actually making their livelihood out of betting?
Okay, so this is...
We're going to conjecture space here, but what do you think the size of that is? Do people actually make money, you know, support themselves through betting?
From what I've seen, it's not possible over the long run. And the reason why is because sports books will blacklist you if you win too much money. So I've had this happen with me with three sports books. And it drives me stinking nuts because they'll take your money if you're out there, you know, gambling or drinking or losing money. They'll freaking take it from you. But as soon as you get smart and you start winning from them, they will limit the amount you can bet. And so it'll start off, you're betting a couple $1,000s maybe on a game, and then it drops to 500. Then they limit you to 100, and then they'll limit you to like $2 or $1 per game. They don't actually like ban you, but they limit the amount you can wager so much that your time is not even being spent there. And there's only a limited number of legal sports books in each state. It's probably 20 to 30. And so once you run yourself through that whole gamut of sports books, there's offshore sports books as well. But at some point, there's a finite number. And once you get banned, you could try to go down the road of finding a bookie or creating an account under your wife's name. But at some point, there's just a limited amount of sports books. Plus, one of the things I've seen is if you're not incredibly calculated in how much you bet and you start to push a little bit, you can hit a bad streak and wipe out your bankroll. And then you're back down to where you've set yourself back 6 months to build it back up. And so to be honest with you, I don't know. I know there are profitable sports bettors. I'm one of them. But as far as making a living, from what I've seen, the sports books will just cut you off. You know, you can maybe make a living for a year or two if you had a good run and you were cycling through books, but at some point, I don't think it's a long-term career from what I've seen.
Obviously, we're talking about the balance between gambling and betting. They're hoping for more gamblers who are just going to have a 50-50. Well, it's a 49% chance of them, you know, winning most of the time. Surely that's illegal if they are starting to throttle down your winning potential. Because there can't be that many people using your kind of tools to win. What are the legalities with that in the state? Obviously, since you've got a business in this space, your understanding of that is quite good. Is there anything you can do as a business to say to these guys, hey, you can't ban my guys just because they're winning? Maybe you just need to have better odds or change your odds?
From what I've seen, there's been a series of news articles about this. At the end of the day, the sports books have taken the position of, we are a for-profit entity, and if we are not going to make a profit off of you, then we don't have to accept your business or take your business. I don't think there's any reason why they can't do that legally. Clearly, they're doing it. It's just one more way. Obviously, all the odds are already tilted in their favor with juice on every play, and we could get into that if you want. But beyond that, they then tilt them further in favor as they just cap you to the amount you can win from them. And then they just say, no more, you're not welcome here anymore.
Yeah. So that sounds slightly like an oligopoly or monopoly that they've got you right where they want them. So that's touching slightly on the regulatory landscape, but let's go into your personal betting philosophy. So you got into this for fun, right? This is not your career, as you've said, and you're not going to put your kids' college fund through these algorithms just yet. But what is your betting philosophy?
So it does tie back to the gambling versus betting. Anytime I feel that I am doing something based on emotion, I not to do that, because sometimes my emotions are right and sometimes my emotions are wrong. but they are definitely not as accurate as statistics or historical trends. So the first thing I try to do is take emotion out of it. The second thing I try to do, and I've realized this, is that Vegas, the wise guys in Vegas, are really good at picking the outcome games, and they're really good at setting lines that make it profitable for them. One strategy I have is just assuming that in a game, it's more likely than not that the result of the game is going to trend towards the original line that Vegas set, especially in basketball. For instance, if you see a team go on a run and all of a sudden the line starts to shift 9-10 points, there's a really good chance that it's going to shift back towards the original line that Vegas set, because at the end of the day, they're really good at setting lines and they're really good at making money. So that can create an opportunity when a line has moved far away from the original line. There's usually a more likely chance than not that it's going to move back. Now, obviously, blowouts happen, and you know, it's not a foolproof strategy. The other big strategy that I use is analyzing times within a game where the fundamental game strategy changes. So maybe it's the last 2 minutes of a half in American football, or the last 2 minutes of a game. There's a really good chance that there's going to be a lot of yards created because people are trying to score, or if there's a huge lead, they're just going to run out the clock and not create a lot of yards and punt. And so for live betting, looking for times where the fundamental game strategy changes can also be super lucrative. And then beyond that, it's just looking at historical trends and balancing them with the AI algorithm and what the algorithm's saying, and trying to just create really, really strong win probabilities of how likely a team is to cover the spread or not cover the spread, and then leaning on that data as well.
So Steve, how could this be applied onto other areas? I've used similar platforms to yours, specifically for cryptocurrency trading in terms of arbitrage. I'm an arbitrage guy. I don't look for huge swings, and I'm looking for those incremental changes up and down. I don't need to make 100%. I'm taking my 2% here and then. I'm quite happy with it. And I suppose that's similar to what you're doing. In order to win over the long term, you are just getting those 2%, 1% increases over the mean. Where else could you use your algorithm?
That's a really good question. I haven't even explored that. One of the interesting thing with markets, whether it's financial markets or crypto markets or betting markets, is that so Vegas, when they set a line, what they're trying to do is they're trying to split money evenly. So they're trying to have 50% of the money on one side, 50% on the other side, and then they take 9% juice from the winner. They take all of the losers and they make 9% on that.
9%.
So they're not necessarily, go ahead.
No, 9%. Nice.
9%. Yeah. So they're not necessarily trying to pick the perfect outcome or where they think the game is going to end. They're just trying to evenly split money. What my algorithm does is my algorithm is trying to pick exactly how the game is going to trend based on the analytics and what the AI is telling me. And so anytime that there's a difference between, I think this game's going to end at 42 points, but the line is at 38.5 points, that creates a lean. And there's an advantage to betting the over on that 38.5, because the true game analytics that the algorithm's telling me have it at 42, but the money being split evenly is at 38. And so what happens is you'll have an injury that happens, or some player's not starting due to illness, or somebody's coming back and he's been on IR for a couple weeks, and all of a sudden he's coming back into the game, or he's going to start that game, and people start emotionally saying, well, I think this player is going to have this impact, and they'll bet and move the line or pull the line. And the true game analytics might say that that player does not have that magnet. That player is not worth 5 points to this line. It's only worth 1 point. And so by all of the people pulling this line away from the true game analytics, we've created a lean. And then I calculate probabilities on that says, 54% chance that it's going to happen on this side of the line. And so back to your original question, I think that anywhere where you have markets involve crypto finance wherever, where people are using emotion to pull one way or another, stock markets bouncing off of press releases, for instance, and then you can compare that to the true analytics, you're creating an advantage one way or another where there might be an opportunity.
So we're talking about emotion and human behavior. So you obviously must be a bit of a student of human behavior, because what your AI is doing is cutting out that human component and saying, this guy is not going to get up and have a Hail Mary pass at the amount of yards or get that three-pointer at the last second. It's just saying, statistically, this is what's going to happen. But we've got these psychological things where our team is going to win or this guy is going to make it. Talk to me about how your understanding of human behaviors makes this AI better or gives a competitive advantage to your particular business.
Yes. So the great news for me is that human behavior is incredibly repeatable. And because it's repeatable, it's incredibly predictable.
That's a lie. Everyone is a unique snowflake and has their own thought processes and is not influenced by any outside sources. What are you talking about?
Right. History never repeats itself. So because it's repeatable, that helps. As soon as you put rules around it, so I put a court and I draw out of bound lines on a court, and then I put a 3-point line, and then I put a series of rules like you can't tackle somebody and you can't bump somebody and you can't slap somebody on the arm when they're taking a shot. And then I put three officials in or referees in and I say, I need you to enforce these rules every single play. And now I've taken human behavior in general and I've confined it to very confined rules. And then I've said, do that again and again and again and again and again. It's incredibly repeatable. And so coaching strategies are incredibly repeatable. How players perform under pressure and don't perform under pressure are incredibly repeatable. And you extrapolate that out over years and years of data and you start to see trends that emerge. And that's, I think, also one of the big benefits is the AI can find non-intuitive trends where a lot of human handicappers are looking at certain types of data one way or another and trying to pull together how they think things might go. Whereas the AI is looking at all of it at the same time and finding these really non-intuitive, bizarre things and then making predictions from it. It's fascinating.
So Steve, pickleball, I'm told, is the new big thing in the States. Do you have a spread on pickleball? Is this something your AI, do you think with a little bit of data can actually say, okay, this is an industry we can make some quick gains on?
I don't have the pickleball algorithm yet. I did have someone ask me if I could do a cockfighting algorithm for the cockfights in Philly. And I also don't have that one going yet, but a lot of the principles are the same. Right now we're doing basketball, football, hockey, and baseball. And then we also do college basketball, college football. To go a little into the nuance, one of the things that we look at is a term that we call score fidelity. It's the number of points in a game, and it's how much a single scoring play affects the outcome of a game. For instance, in hockey, if I have a over-under line of 5.5 and somebody scores a goal, or let's call it 5 and somebody scores a goal, then that's like a 15 to 20% chance of a single scoring play changing the outcome of a game. NBA, for instance, might have an over-under line of 230 points. And if someone hits a 3-pointer, it's like a 1.2% chance of a single scoring play changing the outcome of a game. And so if you compare hockey versus basketball, hockey is 10 to 15 times more volatile than basketball just because of the scoring methods of the sport. And so basketball tends to be one of the best ones to bet on. Hockey, it seems to be one of the worst just because it's fluky and bouncy and low scoring. We haven't even done global football yet because it's so low scoring. And not to say that there's obviously a huge market there and that's something we're looking at. But it's also really challenging because you might have a game that ends in 0-0 or one goal is scored versus basketball where 240 points are scored. And so that does dictate some of the sports that we look at. It's just the number of points that are scored in a game.
Well, I don't know if you're a Rick and Morty fan, going to land flat, but I was going to call it a pickle pick. But anyway, because he turned into Pickle Rick. Hey, I'm Pickle Rick. Anyway, so that is hilarious for some people, but it's really interesting. And especially when one looks at betting, I suppose some folks are very focused on one particular game. But if you want to make this work, you need a portfolio of games, football, basketball, pickleball, in order to sort of even your odds. It's a very complex industry. Who should go into betting?
The first thing I would say is you have to be an incredibly risk-tolerant person. So when you're sitting down with your financial advisor and you're deciding how to invest your 401k and they have the risk chart from 0 to 10, you need to be a 12 or a 15 in as far as your risk tolerance to even consider betting. Sometimes we'll get emails on the support line that's like, man, you haven't had a good run and this and that. Remy and Lean's AI might not be for you because our clients are thrilled losing 45% of the time. You think about baseball and someone who strikes out or gets an out 70% of the time is still a fantastic baseball player. So first off, you have to be able to love losing 45% of the time. And a lot of people just do not have the stomach for that. The second thing I would say is start slow and build up several years of experience and let your amounts grow after that point. Because there's just in getting a feel for the game and a feel for what works and what doesn't and how to win money and how to lose money, diving in head first and diving in with a $20,000 bankroll or a $10,000 bankroll and not knowing what you're doing, that's a fantastic way to lose that money in a couple weeks or a couple months and then you're out and you're done.
Yeah.
And so starting small amounts like $100 and betting 50 cents on a game or a dollar on a game, you're still emotionally invested, but you're learning and you're testing. And then you mentioned the third thing, which is diversification. So a lot of times we will send out 5 to 10 different picks that the algorithm has picked that lean one way to one side of a line or spread each day. And so that's 10 different ways that the portfolio is diversifying that across because we're predicting human behavior. And although it's repeatable, stuff happens and you get an official that makes a bad call or you get an injury in the middle of a game and all of a sudden the advantage you had is gone because the quarterback's out or the point guard, you know, blew his knee or whatever. And so you have to be okay just taking those losses and moving on and understanding that that was just a very small percentage of the portfolio for that day. And looking at very much the long-term picture of I'm okay losing 45% and because that means I'm winning 55%, which is still a great way to make some money. And then the last thing would just be confining it to something that's a good healthy balance, you know, because it can be addictive and it also can be something that just takes a lot of time, even if you're not betting tons of money. Just diving in and watching every single one of these games can take up your whole night. And that's not always healthy with family and friends and social relationships and stuff like that. And so just setting very strict personal boundaries on this is what I'm going to watch. This is what I'm going to bet, things like that to have a good healthy balance would be the last piece of advice I would give.
Yeah, I think that's very pertinent advice. I think having, you know, your guardrail saying I'm not going to spend more than this. This is my cap on X and the amount of time I'm spending. It sounds exactly like shares trading. It sounds exactly like cryptocurrency trading. And your odds are pretty much the same, I reckon. So it's, I suppose, just depends on what your poison is. My last thing I want to ask you is, because we talk about digital marketing, how are you promoting your business? What are the channels that you're using? Because yours would be slightly different to sort of mass market. What are the channels and techniques that you're using to create, number one, awareness, and then two, get customers?
Yep. So we've had most of our success with Google-based SEO, so search optimization, as well as paid ads. And a lot of people don't even know what a sports handicapper is, but if they're on Google searching for a sports handicapper, they are exactly 100% my target demographic. And they're very likely to convert once they understand what our product is doing. So certain search words on Google and even within that, we'll do some affinity segments to look for people who are like business professionals, say, and have disposable income. It has been one of our best ways to get customers in. We're also doing podcasts for awareness. And then the third is sports radio. So sports radio also tends to be very close to the target demographic that we have. And that's a really good way to get a lot of ears on this brand. One of the challenges we have is that, like, back to the beginning of the story, the sports handicapping market is fraught with crooks and criminals and people who just want to rip you off. So we've differentiated ourselves by saying, hey, come on free for 30 days. Try it out. If it's for you, great. If it's not, great. But anytime that we're doing any advertising, it's a constant battle. The stigma of sports handicapping and crooks and cheats and people lying. And so we've tried to be very transparent with the algorithm's result. We publish every single past result. So when it loses, when it wins, that's all built into the metrics that are on the website and people could see exactly how it's done. And so, you can get as many eyeballs as you want, but at some point in time, it's still a challenge just trying to say, hey, we're honest and we're trying to do this right. And the rest of the market is not. And we know that, but you can still try it and just see if it's something you want to continue with.
So Steve, it seems like you've become a marketing professional, even though you started out as a developer. And I've seen there's a lot of entrepreneurs. They've got great products, they've got great technology, but you've got to sell yourself. And now you're diving deeper into this marketing world. And I can guarantee that if you apply your same thinking for betting on SEO, Google AdWords, and advertising on Meta, you could use your same process to generate better eyeballs. You sound like a media agency. So I could see next iteration for you going into media sales and going into industry like that. It's quite fascinating the overlap between the technology that you are using and creating in multiple other fields, which are sort of this black box area where the majority of people have, a lot of people go onto Google, Facebook and just throw money at boosting an ad, hoping, please Jesus, yep, is this going to get some customers?
Yep.
And it's that's gambling, and you're doing betting, and Google Ads is betting.
Yeah, it is. To be fair, I had a marketing firm that's helped me a lot along the way, helped me learn. And I've lost a lot of money doing exactly that, like going on Instagram and just trying the shotgun approach of people are scrolling and they're just trying to look for stuff that's entertaining, or they're in the doom scroll on Instagram looking for these videos. And they'll see an ad that pops up and it might like register with them, but there's a very low percentage chance that they're my target demographic and they're interested in what I'm offering. And so I'm just wasting a lot of money on people that don't fit, but someone who's actively searching for exactly what I offer converts so much better. Like, it's a little more expensive pay-per-click, but it converts so much better than the shotgun approach.
If only there was an AI algorithm that could figure out who those people were and what they were searching for, so that person would make a lot of money. Steve, where can I send people to find out a little bit more about this cool betting algorithm that you have?
Yeah, so the website we have is leans.ai, leans.ai. And on the homepage, you'll be able to see all of the metrics that we have for how the algorithm has performed, what sports it's doing good at, what sports it's not doing good at. If you click on the menu and go to today's picks, you can see all of the past picks for all of the six sports that we cover. So it's NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, and then college football and college basketball. You can see all of the past data. And then from there, if you want to get Remy's picks direct to your inbox, you could just click on subscribe, create an account. The first 30 days are totally free. And Remy send out picks 2, 3, 4, 8, depending on how many sports are in season. Each day they go direct to your inbox and it'll have a win probability of how Remy sees this team covering or leaning on one side of the spread or another. It's fascinating to see how Remy picks games and what Remy comes up with. It's wild to see. So yeah, we have a good time.
So it's such an exciting time in AI, and I think every single industry is being impacted somehow. So it's really cool to connect with you, Steve, and to see what you're doing with your business and how you are trying to get back at the man. And let's try and make some money out of these shysters out there. So Steve, awesome talking to you, and good luck.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
Come chat with Nicholas. He'll listen to you. Then he'll laugh, and then he'll cry with you. It's all in a safe space for you to speak your truth. Oh, come and chat with